All right. Hello, Zenith. This is Tracy Rogers from Amity's headquarters in Washington, D.C., here with Rachel Markowitz, Senior Program Officer for the Youth Exchange and Study Program here at Amity East as well. Welcome, Rachel. Today's topic, today's podcast is going to be focused on sports for peace and development. I won't say that this is a new trend or craze that's been impacting the international scene when we talk about international development, conflict, and peace resolution, but it does seem to be an approach that is relatively new in terms of what it can actually do, how it can be impactful, how it can be of great effect when we talk about peace and conflict resolution. And so we're here sitting with Rachel, who's originally from Kansas. She spent 5 years in Morocco, where she conducted research as a Fulbright scholar and worked in international education. At the University of Texas at Austin, Rachel earned a master's in global policy studies and focused on international development in conflict. Rachel's thesis was on sports for development and peace based on her experiences facilitating sports programs in Morocco, Rwanda, as well as Israel and Palestine. And she now serves, as previously mentioned, as the YES Senior Program Officer here at Amity East in D.C. I should also mention that Rachel's favorite sport is Ultimate Frisbee, which is awesome. And she plays on a competitive women's clubs team called Suffrage. Yes. So again, welcome, Rachel. Thanks so much for being a part of this podcast. And I think my first question for you, you know, just to kind of break it down for listeners who might, listeners and professionals who may be wanting to use sports as a platform for peace and development, or just anyone who might be new to this concept, you know, what is the main aim when we talk about sports for peace and development?
That's a really good question to start with. I think a lot of people, when they hear sports for development and peace, they think that the aim of using it is just to increase how many people play sports. And that's really not the point. So in and of itself, getting people to play sports, different kinds of sports, maybe some people who weren't playing sports before, it's a good aim. But in the field of sports for development and peace, what we're talking about is really using sports as a tool to meet other development aims. And that could be any development aim. You can use sports for health objectives, for women's empowerment, community engagement. You can use it for education, to work with people with disabilities, with refugees. There's so many ways to adapt this. And there's three kinds of sports for development and peace programming. The first one is called Sports First. That's what I was just talking about before, which is we're just trying to get more people to play sports, and we think that simply by playing sports, good things are going to happen in their lives. The second kind is called Sports Plus. You could do a project, a Sports Plus project, that would involve playing a sport and kind of slipping in a couple development aims. So maybe the goal is to get kids from two different communities who don't normally hang out with each other to hang out with each other. So you play soccer. You don't do any other kinds of activities. It's just a football match between those kids from those two communities. It looks like you're just playing sports, but there's a little plus, which is that you're bringing together kids who otherwise might have some conflicts with each other. And then the final type of sports for development and peace programming is called plus sports. This is where the real aim is some kind of very meaty development objective, and you're just adding in sports maybe as a hook. So for instance, maybe you want to work with a community who has very poor health outcomes, and you want to get them to start washing their hands or some other kind of hygiene outcome. So you do a project where there's some kind of sports involved to get people to come, but then you're doing a teaching on hand washing. So before everybody plays, they come wash their hands and you teach them how to do it. There's some kind of a song that you sing to teach the kids. You hand out soap at that event and show people how to use it properly. Or even in some plus sports projects, they're printing development tools on the sports tools. So for instance, you could have a Frisbee that on it has some kinds of instructions or reminders or images that teach people how to do some kind of a development aim.
Okay. In the community. That's amazing. And I didn't even realize that you could break it down in those mm-hmm. three pillars. So you have plus sports, sports plus, and remind me, say the first one
is sports first. And sports that's the one first. That I'm saying isn't even really a sports for development and peace
right.
thing. It's really just playing sports and it might have some positive effects on the
right.
community.
Okay, that's great. So how do you feel that this kind of platform, when we talk about peace and development and bridge building, how is this kind of platform different from more traditional platforms? Mm-hmm. So when we talk about policies that focus on peace and conflict resolution, or when we talk about interfaith as a platform to mm-hmm. bridge cultures or build bridges, or even when we talk about, you know, the governmental diplomacy, mm-hmm. how is sports different, more unique, more innovative, mm-hmm. or just more effectual, or just different in its impact
yeah.
from the more traditional platforms?
Well, from what I've seen and from some of the literature on this field, sports has been found to be really a universal language. So opposed to some other platforms that people use that might be really more relevant to people who have a certain academic background or a certain family background, sports is something that everyone around the world understands how to communicate when there is a game to be played. And when I say sports, I want to emphasize that I include play. Mm-hmm. So some of the Sports for Development and Peace projects are really games more than sports, more than formal sports themselves. So sports can provide a universal language for people. It's a different learning style. If you're anything like me, you might really like using your body physically to learn things. You might be a tactile learner. So this is something that appeals to a lot of people in development contexts, especially, like I said, if they're not used to classroom learning or if that style doesn't appeal to them as much. Sports is also really interesting for conflict settings because if you think about it, most of our lives, we're all sort of avoiding conflict with each other. It's scary. It's uncomfortable. We try to get away from it. Except when we play sports together. For some reason, throughout history, in all different kinds of communities, while we're avoiding conflict in our personal and professional lives, we have created these games where we fight over something completely meaningless. So it does not matter who kicks whatever ball or throws something in whatever way and scores more fake points than the other person, but we have created these matches to put that type of meaning into our lives and our engagements with each other. So sports offers this really unique opportunity to engage in intentional conflict and explore how to engage in that conflict respectfully mm-hmm. in a healthy way, in a way that builds camaraderie and friendship and important individual skills. So those are the things that I like the most. But in general, sports are just a really malleable tool also that makes it a little bit different from other platforms for peace and development. Mm-hmm. Because like I said, you can do it in so many different ways. You can do play, you can do sport. It could be team things, it could be individual things. You could use new games, you could use old games. There's lots of different ways to use it.
Yeah, and I think just in listening to you, what I really appreciate is the play piece. Mm-hmm. In that, you know, when you are just simply engaged in enjoying yourself mm-hmm. and having fun and, you know, being in an environment or connected with others that at least for a short amount of time relieves the tension that mm-hmm. can come, especially when we're in conflict areas. I think that's so significant because it's almost as if for a brief, you know, a few minutes to an hour, depending on the type of activity that you're engaged in, you forget mm-hmm. about everything else that's happening yep. around you. And the focus is simply on connection and bridge building mm-hmm. and fun.
Yes.
So I really appreciate the play piece, which I think that's definitely something distinct and unique when we talk about the regular traditional platforms around conflict and resolution. And so if you wouldn't mind sharing with us, you know, what has been your experience in terms of your work in sports for peace and development, specifically as it pertains to the different pillars, the mm-hmm. sport first, sport plus sports. You know, what have been some of your experiences?
So I really started, I think like most sports for development and peace practitioners, I started as a sports first person. I was a young athlete. I played a lot of sports and it was just something that really appealed to me. I like learning physically. I like moving around. I like being outside. And so I played a lot of sports. And in high school, I really started to realize sports had become a stressful thing for me because it was competitive. It was about making whatever team, and it was a year-long commitment, different camps. My family didn't have a lot of money, so I couldn't always do all of the things that I was competing against players who had more resources than I did, more commitment, or even just more natural talent, and I just wanted to keep playing. So that's when I discovered Ultimate Frisbee, and Ultimate Frisbee requires very few tools. It's super cheap and easy to play. You can play it with different numbers of people, with people from all different kinds of backgrounds. Men and women can play together. It's not dangerous for me to be on a field with men who are more physically strong than I am. They're not going to hurt me because it's a non-contact sport. And different ages. And I also discovered that because of that, it brought together people from really different backgrounds at my school. So once I started playing that, I kind of just lost interest in the other sports. And that's when I continued, really, it was still a sports first sort of experience for me because I was playing Ultimate Frisbee in an international setting in high school and then again in college, but really just exploring the game. And it slowly became a sports plus thing for me without even realizing it. It was how I was meeting different people. Mm-hmm. It was how I was learning about conflict, and I started studying conflict resolution. That's then what led me to Morocco as a Fulbright scholar. I was studying conflict resolution very formally when I realized that this passion I had for Ultimate Frisbee could really be translated into some sports plus programming in Morocco. And so I got to run a little workshop for sub-Saharan refugee youth in Morocco where we use sport and play to engage them and to work with them on some leadership skills. And then after that is when I really got to do some plus sports. So as a graduate student, I got to go to Rwanda for several months and luckily had a team that allowed me to insert some sports into a development project they were already doing. And that project was really new for me because it was with adults. It was with petty trader women in a conflict zone between Rwanda and the Democratic Republic of Congo. And these women who had experienced a lot of violence throughout their lives and maybe had some distrust of each other were doing community building activities through a nonprofit. And that organization allowed me to do an Ultimate Frisbee workshop with these women and seeing them just play with each other and laugh and how their body language changed. And they were all trying to do something that they had never done before and that was weird, you know, throwing this frisbee through the air. And even the men who came later on in the project, seeing the women and how they had taken ownership of this sport was really inspiring for me. And then finally, probably my most significant coaching experience has been with an organization called Ultimate Peace that does, it's more of a sports plus program in Palestine and Israel between young people in communities who would not have access to one another were it not for this sport. So that's where I had the bulk of my experience, and that was a sports plus programming. It was really mostly focused on Ultimate, on the sport of Ultimate, but then had these sort of side goals for the young people there.
Okay, that's really amazing. That's really amazing. And so now you're bringing sports for peace and development to the YES program, which YES stands for Youth Exchange and Study. It's a program funded by the U.S. State Department, and Amid East has been recruiting for this program in countries found throughout the Middle East and Northern Africa. And so there's a big event coming up next April where alumni to the YES program will be recruited to participate in a conference that strictly focuses on how to use sports and how to incorporate sports into conflict resolution, peace, and development. And so tell us a little bit about YES-DP, which is YES Sports Development and Peace. How are you pulling this together? And tell us a little bit about that program.
Well, I'm so excited to be working on YES-DP. And first, I have to say, you give me a little too much credit for saying that I'm bringing SDP to to the YES program, because I think what I found is that sports are a major part of cultural exchange, mm-hmm. whether intentional or not. So we've noticed that a lot of the YES students have these impactful sports experiences in their host communities and when they go home. And some of our YES alumni are even, you know, high-level athletes, or have been using sports in their development projects without knowing that there is a formal field for this, mm-hmm. and that there are some best practices. There are experts who can help them make sure that their projects are really effective. So YES DP, this workshop, is going to be for 30 alumni of the YES program from all over the world. We're getting together in Kuwait to meet with some experts, and some of the alumni will be serving as experts themselves on panels, giving talks, etc. But the main thing will be for them to engage with one another, to reflect on those experiences they've had, share tips about the projects they've been doing, and then create some proposals for projects they'd like to do in the communities where they're living now, and get feedback on that so that they can really take this to the next level and create some momentum for formal sports for development and peace, mm-hmm. within all the things that are already happening with sports in the YES community.
Okay. Well, that sounds really exciting, and good luck.
Thank you.
I'm sure it's going to be a wonderful, successful event, and hopefully you'll come back and tell us how it went next spring. So before we wrap up, Rachel, you know, I'm just curious if you have any kind of parting advice or guidance or resources or tools that Zenith alumni listening, professionals listening, might be able to use when it comes to sports for peace and development.
Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, if you're listening to this, bravo to you that you are even aware now that this field exists. Again, a lot of people doing this kind of work are actually just athletes who don't realize that there is some formal best practices. And so I'd say a few of those things for you to be aware of is, first of all, always, always seek out local expertise and local buy-in. If you are going to do a project in a community that is not your home community, you want to make sure that you're checking in with people locally to find out what is going to work best for them, what is really going to resonate. Just because you love playing football doesn't mean that that's the right sport to use for your objectives in whatever community you're going to. Think about who might be ostracized and who might be included by whatever it is you're planning to do. Also try to incorporate some peer leadership. So once you get that buy-in, see who locally you could maybe do some training with, and then let them really run the show. Let them be the faces of the project that you're doing. If you're going to have some coaches, make sure that those coaches get some training in sports for development and peace, not just in sports itself. And of course, try to have a monitoring and evaluation plan. A lot of projects using sports are so much fun that people assume that they're very successful just because everyone had a lot of fun. If you can try to incorporate some way to measure the results of your programming, which is difficult. It's difficult in all development projects, but especially in something using soft skills like this. Really try to prove objectively what happened. Did your project do what you were hoping that it would do, or did it do something different? It's okay if it did something different. Those are learning experiences for all of us. And so for you, before you do all of that, there are other people already doing lots of this kind of work who have compiled resources for you so that you can get tips. And three of those that I think could be really useful to you. One is a platform called Sport and Dev. And that platform, I think we can include links
yes.
with this podcast. Great.
Yep.
Sport and Dev has just a million resources. Names of organizations, research on the different tools, toolkits for you to use, names of organizations to get in touch with, job openings in this field. Go to sportanddev.org and check it out. There's another one that could be very helpful to you called Peace and Sport. And their website is just peace-sport.org. We'll include those links for you. Both of these, I can never get through everything they have on their websites. So go look it up. And then finally, look into the UN actually has an Office of Sport for Development and Peace. And they promote an International Day of Sport for Development and Peace, which is April 6th every year. So check that out. Google it. Look at the link that we post and see how you can get involved with that. That really creates a lot of momentum in this field.
Awesome. Well, Rachel, thank you so much for sharing all of this information and for joining us for ZPod, for this episode of ZPod. And thank you again for just sharing your experiences and hopefully, again, to any Zenith alumni or professionals listening, this will be something, a Z-Pod that you benefit from. And I wish you all the best when it comes to your projects using sports
Thank
for
you.
Peace and development. And we will see you soon.
Good
Thank
luck,
you.
Everybody.
Thank you.